Today's daf is Chulin Daf Tes Zayin, and we are two lines from the top of Daf Tes Zayin Amid Aleph. So at the end of yesterday's daf, we learned the Mishnah on Daf Tes Vav Amid Beis. The Mishnah said, Hashoychet b'magol yad b'tzor u'bekana shchitasek shera. If somebody shechts using the smooth blade of a hand sickle, or if he uses a tzor, it's a stone, or bekana, or a reed, shchitasek shera. The Gemara was medayik. It sounds like tzur and kana are only shchitasek shera b'di'evet. But likat chila, it's not okay for somebody to shecht with a tzur or a kana. And the Gemara asked the kasha, v'rimini. Bryce says, b'koil shoichtin, likat chila, bein b'tzur, bein b'schuches, bein b'krumash al kana. And to answer the kasha, the Gemara made an akim to the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is talking about a tzur and a kana that were mechuber l'karka. Meaning, a tzur and a kana that are tallish, that are detached from the ground, that's b'koil shoichtin, even likat chila. When the Mishnah says, shchitasek shera, hashoichet, that it's only b'di'evid, it's talking about when it's mechuber. And the Gemara digressed from there and said that whether or not it's okay to shecht with something that's mechuber l'karka or not is really a machloikis, Rebbe and Reb Chiya. Rebbe says that it's not okay to shecht with mechuber l'karka. Reb Chiya said, and after the Gemara analyzed Shitas Reb Chiya in depth, that it's okay even l'katchila to shecht with mechuber l'karka, which left the Gemara with a shayla. If that's the case, mani masnisin, who is the Tana of the Mishnah? You're telling me that the reason it's only okay b'di'evit to shecht b'tzor b'kana is because it's mechuber l'karka. We know of two shitas, Rebbe and Reb Chiya, as it relates to shchitas chulin b'mechuber l'karka. Shitas Rebbe is it's possible b'di'evit. Shitas Reb Chiya is that it's kasha l'katchila. The Mishnah seems to be taking an in-between stance. It's mani masnisin. It's le Reb Chiya, it's le Rebbe. And to answer this kasha, the Gemara said yisoy, that even Rebbe that says that it's not okay to shecht b'mechuber l'karka, meaning it's possible the Eved, Hani Mili, that's only if it was Mechuber Me'ikara. So something that was attached to the ground in its natural state. So a reed that grows from the ground, that's never been detached, that type of Kana, which is Mechuber Lekarka, would be possible the Eved. An Eved that's part of the ground, to Shecht with that would be possible the Eved. If, however, you have something that's Mechuber, but it was previously Talosh, it was only Ula B'Soif Chibra, it's over there, that it's going to be a problem, the Katchila, it's going to be Kasha b'di'evit. In other words, when the Mishnah said "Hashoichet b'tzur u'bekana shchitasek shera," clearly implying that it's only kasha b'di'evit, hacha b'mayaskinon where it was talush ula b'sayif chibray. The Tana, the Mishnah is Rebbe, who holds that mechuber is a problem. If it was mechuber me'ikara, it would be a problem even b'di'evit, being that it was talush ula b'sayif chibray. It's for that reason it's going to be only a problem l'katchila, but b'di'evit hashoichet b'tzur u'bekana shchitasek shera. That's an important introduction because this is going to be the topic of the majority of today's daf. So in the course of discussing our Mishnah and this machloikis, Rebbe and Reb Chiya, the Gemara brought several braises. One of the braises said, Amar hashoichet b'muchni shchitasek shera. If a shoichet takes a knife, he sticks it, he affixes it to a wheel, he then turns the wheel, and by turning the wheel, he was able to do a perfect shchita. Roiv of Beis Simonim with a behema, roiv of Simon Echa with a knife. The Braisa said the shchita is going to be okay. Vatanya, Frank, the Gemara, we learned that the Braisa, shchita soy psula. So the Gemara, like Kasha, hub is siren of the pachra, hub is siren of the mat. You have to say that there's different types of wheels. Literally, siren of the pachra is the wheel that the smiths used to use. Siren of the maya is a wheel that was powered by water. The point is that if it's a wheel where as you're turning the wheel, you're causing the knife to do the shechita, then we say that despite the fact that the knife is in the wheel, it's still going to be okay because it's your koyach that caused the shechita. If, however, you have a wheel that's not powered by man, but rather it's powered by water, so even though you're the one who caused the water to cause the wheel to start moving, but we look at your act as a grama. You're not the one that's actually turning the wheel. It's the water that's turning the wheel. Being that it's a nice grama ba'alma, it's not going to be considered a shechita. V'ibay, same as the Gemara, haba haba sarna de maya. Both braises could be talking about a wheel that's being powered by water, like kasha, habekayach rishon, habekayach sheni. The braise that says shechitasek shera, that's talking about that as you did your act to cause the water to make the wheel turn, that's when the shechita took place. So being that it happened immediately after you caused the water to make the wheel turn, so even causing the water to make the wheel turn is considered koyach rishon. It's not considered a maisa grama. If, however, you caused the wheel to turn and then an hour later the sakin that was in the wheel did the shechita, that's already viewed as a koyach sheni. That's going to be considered a maisa groma. Being that it's a maisa groma, it's not going to be considered shechita. Says the Gemara, and an analogy to this distinction between koyach rishon and koyach sheni is something Rav Papa once said in a completely different context. Hi, man, the kasvir the chavre v'ashkala bidgirimaya. So somebody wanted to take his friend out. So what he did was he tied him up. He put him next to water. The water was being blocked, rushing water by a wall. He then punctured a hole in the wall, caused the water to go through the wall, and it ended up killing this person. So Rav Papa said a chiddush. He said chayav that even though this person never put a bullet in his friend's head, but at the same time, being that he did an act that, albeit somewhat indirectly, caused Chavre to die, that's enough for him to be chayav misa. And Rav Papa explained it. He said, because giri didehu dahani bei. At the end of the day, it was his maisa, albeit not a maisa in the person that he killed, but the maisa of puncturing a hole in the wall, causing the water to rush through the wall and eventually kill this person, that's enough for it to be viewed as a koyach rishon. We don't look at him as grama, thus he's going to be a shayfich tamen. But Rav Papa immediately qualified it. He said, "Hani b'le b'koyach rishon, av b'koyach sheni grama ba'amu." What is koyach rishon, koyach sheni? So Rashi says, if the person was right next to the water, so then again, we look at it as if you're puncturing the hole in the wall, caused the water to kill this person immediately. If the person was tied down, but he was somewhat distant from where the wall was and from where the water was, dear, the halacha is already going to be different. Bottom line is, what you see from Rav Papa is this chilek, that sometimes an act can be viewed as koyach rishon, sometimes it can be viewed as koyach sheni. If it's koyach rishon, we're miyaches the act to the person. If it's koyach sheni, we'll look at it as a grub ma'alma, and as a result, it's going to be governed by dinei grama. So this gemara is a chiddush. Because what you see in this Gemara is that just like there's a concept of Grama ben Azakin, for example. So everybody knows that if Reuven's Mazik Shimon, he's a Chayva b'Chaver. What if Reuven does something that causes Shimon to be Nizik? Meaning he wasn't directly Mazik him. Grama ben Azakin, so it's a Gemara right in the beginning of Perek HaKoinis. Grama ben Azakin is Potter Medina Yadav v'Chay Medina Shemayim. There's a concept of Grama. What you see over here is that the laws of Grama relate not only to Nizakin, but also to Shvichas Damim. That was Rav Papa's halacha. So if somebody kills somebody, B'derech Grama, he's going to be Potter Medina Yadav. He's also Chai Medina Shemayim, by the way. But he's going to be Potter Medina Yadav. And this is really a Sugya in Perek HaNisrofim in Masechet Sanhedrin. But the point is, just like you have Grama ben Azakin, you have Grama b'Shvichas Damim, and you see in this Gemara that you also have Grama as it relates to Shechita. So if somebody shechts where we deem the Maisa Shechita as an act of Grama, it's going to be a Shechita Psula. And that's the Braisa that says, HaShechet b'muchni Shechita Psula. It's talking about where the Shechita happened with a wheel, where even though you caused the wheel to turn, but we look at it as koyach sheni, thus it gets classified as a maisa groma. Groma b'shchitas chulin is shchitas haipsula. If, however, you did it in a way where we don't look at it as a groma, we could look at it as a koyach rishon over there, it's going to be okay. And that's the braisa that said, hashoychet b'muchni shchitasoy ksheira. So as mentioned, the primary topic of the daf, the Gemara portion of the daf, is going to be the halachos of someone who shechts chulin b'mechuber, and someone who shechts chulin with something that was once talush and later you were mechaper. Says the Gemara, Yosef Rav, Achleiru de Rab Chiyo, Rab Chiyo kameh de Rebbe, V'Yosef Rebbe, V'Kamah. So Rebbe essentially was giving shir, and his two great talmidim, Rav and Rab Chiyo, were sitting in front of him. And Rebbe said as follows, Minayin l'shchita shi betalush. How do you know that shchita's chulin has to be done with a davar talush? So after learning all these Gemaras and Brises this way and that way and a Mishnah, we don't have a makar. How do you know that shchitas chulin has to be with a davar that's talish? Why is something that's attached to the ground puzzle for shchitas chulin? So Rebbe said as follows, sometime from a pasuk, Shenema vayikach asa macheles lishchait, that Avram Avinu took the knife and he was going to shecht his son Yitzchak. And it's mashma, if the pasuk says vayikach asa macheles, he took it, it sounds like it wasn't attached to the ground. And from here we learn it's a binyanav to all shchitas, that shchita always has to be done with something similar to a macheles. It has to be done with something that's detached from the ground. Amalei Rav the Rab Chiyo. So Rav and Rab Chiyo hear what Rebbe says. So Rav turns to Rab Chiyo, he says, my comma. He says, I don't understand. Amalei, so he told him, I agree, I don't even understand. As a matter of fact, he told him, Vav diksiva ufsakomar. There's so many holes in what Rebbe's saying. Imagine writing the letter Vav on the bark of a tree. So because of the ridges in the tree, so it's going to be a very not smooth Vav. There's going to be many holes in the Vav. So pun intended, Reb Chiya told Rav, there are many holes in what Rebbe is saying, because there's no way that this pasuk vayikach es hamacheles lishchoy could be the makar from where we know that you're not allowed to shecht chulin with fake the gemara vakrokama. What, Rebbe made up a pasuk, and how are you going to understand the pasuk? I mean, why is the pasuk not a good makar? So the Gemara says, "Krazi rusa d'Avram kamash mulam," because the pasuk doesn't necessarily mean that it had to be a machelas. What the pasuk is coming to say is that Avram Avinu took a machelas because he wanted to be prepared. He didn't want to show up at the akedah and then realize, you know, I don't have a machelas. How am I going to do the shechita? Maybe he could have done it with a rock that was attached to the ground. Maybe Avram Avinu could have done the akedah with a kana that's attached to the ground. But at the end of the day, Avram Avinu wanted to make sure that he was going to, and that's why he took the machelas. So vayikach as a machelas is teaching me rizusei d'Avram. But it's not teaching me a halacha that the only time you could do shechita is with something that's detached from the ground. We'll get back to this one. Something that was once detached and now is attached to the ground. So do we look at it as a davar talush or do we look at it as a davar mechubah? So Rava said as follows. It's pasha to me that as it relates to the laws of avodah zarah, we treat it as talush. If somebody bows down to his own house, so a person makes his house his getchka, his avodah zarah. So the halacha becomes asar b'hana, like avodah zarah. Now, freak rough of iso g'day dechavi mechuber, l'chura, a house is mechuber. But it was talush once, right? The bricks and mortar of the house were once detached from the house, and now they're attached to the house. But if you're going to tell me that being that utzul b'saif chibrei, we look at it as mechuber, eloheyem haloharim v'loyoharim eloheyem. This is avodah zarah 101. We all know that something that's mechuber can't be treated as avodah zarah. So Rava said, how could it be a mishtachav elabayah shaloi has a din of avodah zarah? It's mechuber lekarka. What do you have to say? That it's true, it's mechuber now, but it was once talush. And talush ulabasayv chibrei, as it relates to the laws of avodah zarah, has a din of talush. So Rava said, as it relates to hilchas avodah zarah, pshitali, it's pasha to me, that talush ulabasayv chibrei is treated as avodah zarah. Again, is treated as talish. How do I know that it's a Mishnah? Hamashtachav l'bayis shalai yasra, ilinyin hechshez ram tanahi. Ravi continued, he said, as it relates to the laws of machshirim, I know that it's a machloikis tanah. So just before we see this next halacha, a little bit of background. So what is the idea of machshirim? In order for food, peiros, to become tameh, they first have to be wet. So they have to become wet. Once they're wet, they're mukshal kabel tumah. If afterwards a sheretz or some other form of tumah comes in contact with it, it's going to be tumah. Additionally, you need that when the fruit became wet, the person, the owner of the fruit, was happy with it. Either he put the water there, or at the very least, he had nichusa. When he saw it, he was okay with it. It has to be ki yutan dum yudiki yite. But the point is that if it became wet and he's not happy with the fact that it became wet, it doesn't become mukhsha l'kabel tumah. Another chiddush. What would happen if it's raining outside and the person's very happy it's raining because he wanted some part of his property to become wet. And then later that water landed on his fruit. There was no nichusa for the fruit per se to become wet, but he was very happy with the fact that it was raining because he wanted the water. Even though there was never a positive nichusa that I'm happy that my fruit are getting wet, but as long as he's happy that something's getting wet, he's happy with the water that's coming down right now because he has some need for it, some benefit from it, even though his benefit, his nechusa, is not specifically, it's not pointedly related to the fruit itself, that's enough to constitute nechusa that the peiros are now going to be hukshal and kabel tumah. And one final thing that we need as a hakdama, and that is the only time that's true, is if the thing that's getting wet that he's happy with is talush. But if the thing that he's happy with, that, oh, I'm so happy it's raining because I want my field to be watered, meaning that your field is mechuba lekarka, that would not constitute so that if later your peiros become wet with that water that you were happy with, they would be mukhsha l'kabel tumah. So with that background, says the Gemara, it's a Mishnah. It was raining outside and somebody took a ka'ara, he took a plate and he put it on his wall because he wanted the ka'ara to become wet. And then later, after the ka'ara got wet, the water flowed, let's say, from the Ka'ara onto his peiros, and now his peiros became wet. Harei zebechiyutan. The halacha is the peiros are now going to be mukshal lekabel tuma because the peiros got wet and he was happy with the water, even though he wasn't necessarily focusing on the peiros becoming wet, but he wanted his Ka'ara. It was dirty, he wanted it clean, he was very excited that water was falling on the Ka'ara. That constitutes nichusa, so that right now when the peiros become wet, the halacha is mukshal lekabel tuma. Let's say he put a Ka'ara on top of the koisel, not because he wanted the Ka'ara to get wet, but simply because he didn't want the koisel to get wet. He was using it to protect the wall. He didn't want the wall to get wet. Then if that water falls on peiros, the peiros are not going to be mukshal lekabel tuma because he had no nichusa from the water. The reason he put the Ka'ara there was not because he wanted the water to go on the Ka'ara. It's because he wasn't happy with the water. He was just trying to protect the wall to the best of his ability. But the Gemara asks Akash, Haguf Akash, Amrit, the Resha, the Mishnah said, Bishvul Shetudach, Hareze Bichiyuta. The Mishnah said that if the person wanted the water to go on the Ka'ara, so he put the Ka'ara on the wall because he wanted the water to go on the Ka'ara. Let's make a deal. What would be if this person didn't want the Ka'ara to get wet, he wanted the wall to get wet? It sounds like that wouldn't be enough to constitute nichusa. Because if that would be enough, why do you have to put the Ka'ara and the Mishnah make an akimta that you wanted the water to go on the Ka'ara and it went from the Ka'ara to the Paris? That's nichusa. Say better. Keep the story simpler. You can take out that one part of the story. Just say that it was raining. He was very excited. He wanted his wall to get wet and then it went from his wall onto its mashma, that by landing on the wall or wanting the wall to get wet, that would not constitute kiyuta. But hadu tani, the problem is, what's the next part of the Mishnah? If he put the Ka'ara because he didn't want the wall to get wet, that's not kiyutan. You can make the same deal in the reverse. It sounds like if you wanted the wall to get wet, I raise a bichiyutan. The point is, we have conflicting diyukim from the Reisha and the Sefer Mishnah. What would be if it's raining, the water is landing on your wall, and you're very excited that your wall is getting wet, and then the water flows from the wall onto your peiros? Would that constitute nichusa so that right now the peiros are hukshal lekabel tuma or not? The Mishnah gave us two extreme cases. We have a case where you put a plate on the wall and you want the plate to become wet, and then we have a case where you put a plate on the wall to protect the wall because you don't want the wall to get wet. What if I don't want the plate? What if I just want the wall? This seems to be a stira. Amar Rav Elazar, it is a stira. Tavra. There's no way to answer this. And Misha Shana, you have to say the Reish and the Seifa do different tanu. Rapapa said no. Kulachatanu. Really, the entire Mishnah is one tan. We're talking about two different types of walls. One's the wall of a cave, for example. This is a wall that's been there from Sheishes Yimei Bereishes. The other one is a wall that was man-made. This is the way you read the Mishnah. If somebody puts a car on top of a wall, and the reason he put it there was is because he wants the Ka'ara to get wet. Hareze b'chiyuta. So he has nichusa for the water. If the water now falls on the peiros, then hukshal lekabel tuma. Clearly implied that if you wanted the wall to get wet, not the ka'ara on the wall, the wall itself, then it wouldn't be mukshal lekabel tuma. But medvar mamur, when is that true? Bekoisel ma'ara. That's if it's a wall that's been there forever. You know why? Because that wall is mechuber ne'ikara. It's attached to the ground. And if you have nichusa for something that's mechuber, for water to land on that, that's not considered nichusa as it relates to Masechtas Machshir. Avo b'koisel binyan. But what would be if it was a different type of wall? It was a man-made wall, even though it's mechuber, but it was taller shul b'soiv chavroi. B'shvil shilo yilokaha, koisel hu de'ena b'chiyutan. It's only if you didn't want the wall to get wet that we say it's ena b'chiyutan. B'shvil shiyudachais, but if you did want the wall to get wet, hareiz b'chiyutan. So the bottom line is, Rava said as follows. Rava said that as it relates to the halachas of avoydazara, pshitali, there I know for sure that taller shul b'soiv chavroi is in the Kintalish. As relates to Masechtas Machshirin, where there's a rule, where there's a halacha, that the only time peiros become mukshal lekabel tuma is if you were nicha on this water. But there's a halacha that the nichusa, although it doesn't have to be for the peiros itself, it has to be for a dava talish. What about talish l'basayv chavroi? How would I view that? So it says Rava, Tanoihi, but really it's dependent on how you learn this Mishnah. Rava said, what I'm not sure about is how would you view the halachis of Talosh Ubasaif Chabroi Le'inyin Shchita. In other words, presupposing that you can't shecht
with something that's mechuber shitas Rebbe. You could shech with a davar talish.
So the question is, what if it was talish and now it's mechuber? Do I look at it as talish or do I look at it as mechuber? We addressed it in Hilchas Avodah Zarah. We addressed it, albeit with a complicated mishnah, in Masechtas Machshirin. What about what we're learning? Hakol Shoichten, as it relates to shchitas chulin. Talush ulam b'sayv chaver. So Rashi says that Rava is machin zechnish visendig from yesterday's daf. Really, we had a whole daf yesterday with a brisa and a stira between two brises and a mishnah, right? So there was a lot of activity in yesterday's daf as it relates to this shayla. But Rava is coming as if yesterday's daf never happened, and by Rava's not sure what would be the halacha of talush ulam chaver. It says the Gemara, "My Toshma, I'll bring you a raya," and the raya is going to be from the brisa that the Gemara brought on the very bottom of daf tezvav on the base. So it's kedai to see the brisa again inside. It's five lines from the bottom of tezvav on the base. The brisa had said, "Hashoichet b'muchni." That's what this morning's daf started with. Shchitasik sheir. Somebody sticks a knife in a wheel. Shech shchitasik sheir. B'muchub lekarka. Shchitasik sheir. Na'at sakin bekoisel v'shachat ba. Somebody sticks a knife in a koisel and he shechts that way. Shchitasik sheira. Hayat sur yoytzim in a koisel. If there was a stone protruding from a wall, oikana oilam ayelam, or there was a reed, v'shachat ba shchitasik psul. And yesterday's daf Gemara asked the stira. The Gemara said the Reisha and the Seifa seem to contradict themselves, because the Reisha says if you shech with mechubah lekarka, it's okay. If you stick a knife into the wall, it's okay. It sounds like mechubah is kosher. And then it says if the tsur was yoytzim in a koisel or the kana was oilam ayelam, it's shchitasik psula. And the Gemara said like kasha. One is talking about it was mechubah meikara. The other is talking about where it was talush ula b'soyf chavi. But Rava is going to view this price a little differently. So Rava said, "I'll bring you a raya. Hayatzur yaitzim ena koisel." The price said that if a tzur, a stone, was protruding from the wall, oisha yikana el meyed v'shachav shchitas psula. So what does it sound like? It sounds like shchitas psula. Assuming that when it says tzur yoytzim in a kaisel, it means the tzur was once detached, it was talush, it was only a little bit soif chav, right? So you see clearly that it's possible. Is the brisa not a raya? That part of the brisa that talush l'b'sayv chavri is possible. Where it says no, hach ma'eskid b'kaisel ma'ara. Maybe we're talking about with a wall that's been there forever. The stone that's protruding has been there forever. It's not talush l'b'sayv chavri. It's always been mechuber. The brisa going according to Rebbe that something that's mechuber is possible. The point is, it has nothing to do with Rav Shaila. Dekanami, and it's mashman that way, says the Gemara. Diktani, because the Braisa put two cases together. Dumya dekana oilam yelav. It mentioned tzur yoytzim in akaisel, oikana oilam yelav. Kana oilam yelav, by definition, is something that was mechubah meikara. You ever read that grew from the ground? It was never talush, it was mechubah meikara. So just like kana oilam yelav was mechubah meikara, so too tzur yoytzim in akaisel is mechubah meyelav as well. Tashma. Mara says, maybe I'll bring you a raya from a different part of the brisa. No, it's not the koisel. The brisa said, if you stuck a knife into the wall, v'shachav ashchitasik sheira, why? L'chayra, it's mechuber. And this was definitely once talish, right? The sakin hasn't been there forever. You took the sakin, you were not at the sakin into the koisel, and now you shechted. So isn't a mefurish a raya to the reverse? That if something was talish, ula b'sayv chibra, it's going to be kosher. Mara says, shani sakin le'mevatale. I don't know if sakin can ever be considered mechuber l'karka. It's never bottled to the wall. Being that it's not bottled to the wall, even if it's right now, quote unquote, attached to the wall, we don't look at it in halacha as being mechuber. Says Amar Tashma, I'll bring you a raya from the first part of the brisa. B'mechuber lekarka shchitasik sheir. Ah, this is already checkmate, right? It says hashoichet b'mechuber lekarka. So it's something that's mechuber. The lashon habrisa is mechuber lekarka. It says kosher. Obviously, we're not talking about what was mechuber meikara because that's possible. That's the same in habrisa. So, what does it mean? Hashoichet b'mechuber lekarka must be was talish b'sayv chibroi. So, here you have already a mefurish habrisa. Mara says no. A doichik vilma purusha come mefarish lo. My mechuber lekarka sakud lo mevatale. Maybe the way you have to read the brisa is hashoichet b'mechuber lekarka shchitas oikshir. But med dvarim amurim where it never became bottle to the karka, for such as not sakin because of a shachatba. But if it became bottle, being that now it's mechuber, even though it was once talush, maybe we still view it as being mechuber. Thus, the halach is going to be, it's going to be pasul. One more gemara, amar ma, not sakin the koisel. Somebody stuck a sack into the koisel. The shachav hashchitasik sheir. Right, that was one of the things the brisa said. Amar anu no mashmul loichon well shasakin lemay lo v'tzaver behemah. The only time this is okay is if you put the tzaver of the behemah, the throat of the behemah, is underneath the knife. Avol sakin lemato v'tzaver behemah lemay lo. But if the knife is going to be on bottom and the tzaver behemah is going to be on top, it's not okay. Chayshinon shemo yidroi. So one of the basic laws of Shechita that we didn't really speak very much about, but
there'll be plenty of these halachas right around the corner. And that is that when the sheikhet does shechita, he has to slit the throat of the animal. He has to take the knife and slit it, slice it, as opposed to press against it and use his force to sever the simanim. If you're going to put the animal on top of the knife, so then there's a chash that, being that the knife is it's attached to the wall, the force of the animal is going to press down on it, and what's going to happen is going to cause the knife to not slit the animal, but to forcefully sever it, which is a shechita psula. Thus, although it's okay to shecht if the sakin is attached to the wall, but you have to be a little bit more sensitive to not running into a hadrasa issue. And the way you're sensitive to that, the way you address it, is by making sure that the sakin is going to be lamaiva. And the tzad of the hem is going to be lamata. But if you're doing the reverse, it's not okay. Okay, sounds good, right? Says the Gemara, no. Vaktani, one of the, again, many brises that we had in yesterday's daf, was bakol shechtin. Bein betolish bein b'mechuber. Reading from yesterday's daf. Bein shasakin lemayla v'tzava bein b'lamat. Bein shasakin lemata v'tzava bein b'lamat. So what did the Brisa say? You could shecht betolish b'mechuber, and then it says it doesn't matter if the sakin is lemayla or the sakin is lemata. So lechura amar avzvid letzadim tani. You have no choice but to say that the way you read the Brisa is as follows. It's not true bakol shechtin. Mechuber betalush, and whether it's mechuber or talush, the sakin could be lemailo lemato. But rather, the way you have to read it is bakol sheichden. That's fact number one. You could check with talush, you could check mechuber, but at this, and you could also check sakin lemailo, sakin lemato. Stating that, not every permutation is going to work. The point is, sakin lemato vitzaber behem lemailo works betalush. Sakin lemailo vitzaber behem lemato mechuber. Rapapa said a different teretz, but if for the kolo, the brisa that says that you can use a sakin that's attached to the wall, and it doesn't matter if it's lamaila or lamata. We just said that you have to make sure it's lamata. You can't make it lamaila. When the bride says lamaila, so you're shechting an oif. Being that an oif is lighter than a behemoth, so the concern of hadrasa, that its force is going to press against the knife, isn't such a prevalent concern. Over there, it's going to be okay. So by a behemoth, you have to be worried about hadrasa. If, however, we're not dealing with a behemoth, you're dealing with an oif, over there, you don't have to be worried about hadrasa. 26 minutes. Exhale. We're going to finish the daf. But just before we go weiter, we began, really, the topic of the second part of yesterday's daf, and the first part of this morning's daf is an idea that shechitas chulin needs to be done with something that's tall. So machlokes is Rebbe and Reb Chiya, and there's an afgemina between tall shel l'saif chibra, or something that was mechuber meikar, but the basic concept that there's a halacha that in order to shecht chulin, you have to use an instrument, something that is talush. But if it's mechuber lekarka, it's going to be a problem. And the Gemara told a story that Rebbe was giving shir, and Rav and Reb Chiya were sitting in front of Rebbe, and they were discussing this. This is Rebbe's halacha. Rebbe's the one that holds the mechuber's pasul. And they were discussing, what's the mekar? How do you know that something that's mechuber is not okay? And Rebbe said it's learned out from a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayikach asamacheles lishchait es benoy." And Rav turns to Reb Chiya and he says, "What did Rebbe just say?" And Reb Chiya says, "Oh, don't worry about it. He gave him a makar, but that makar has so many holes. Try to write the letter vav on the bark of a tree. The amount of holes you're going to have in the vav, that's how many holes there are in what's said." And this is, of course, Reb Chiya l'shitasa. Reb Chiya is the one that argues with Rebbe. Reb Chiya is the one that holds that you could shecht with mechuber. But Rebbe held it was a makar. And the makar was, "Vayikach asamacheles lishchait es benoy." Now, where does it say "Vayikach asamacheles"? That's, of course, by Akedas Yitzchak. Freik Toisvis, the obvious kash. I mean, the kash just jumps off the page. Freik Toisvis, Akedas Yitzchak wasn't shchitas chulin. Akedas Yitzchak was shchitas kachim. The Gemara learns many halachas and mesechtes vachim and menachas from Akedas Yitzchak. So Freik Toisvis gevald. How could you learn a halacha that you need a davar talush to shecht chulin from Vayikach Esamacheles? Vayikach Esamacheles is not shchitas chulin. It's shchitas kachim. Yitzchak Avinu had a din of a carbon oila. So yeah, you can learn from there that shchitas kachim has to be done with a davar talush. But how could you learn from there that shchitas chulin has to be done with a davar talush as well? And Tosfos is moisif tmiya al tmiyas. Tosfos says that we know the Gemara says in Masechta Zvachim, Daf Tzadik Vav Amadeis, Daf Tzadik Zayin Amad Aleph, that we learn from Vayikach Asamacheles, Lishchaitas Benoi, that shchitas kachim has to be done with a keli. And if you don't have a keli, you can't do shchitas kachim. machlokes rishonim, doesn't even have to be a kli sharis. Rabbeinu Ephraim, the first tosfos of Perek Yezeh Mekayim, and it's also a tosfos of Chulin Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. So these tosfos are spread out throughout Shas, where tosfos brings a big machlokes rishonim where the shechita needs to be done with a kli sharis, or shechita does not have to be done with a kli sharis. But that shechita has to be done with a keli, that's a gemara. It's zvachim. Tzadik Vav Amid Beis. It's learned out from Vayikach HaSamachelas Lishchit HaSbenoi. And even though the pasuk is by a carbon oil, because Yitzchak Avinu had a din of a carbon oil, but it says Zoysa Atayr La'oil Mincha L'chatis L'shlamim. And the Gemara says Makish all the carbonis. Each carbon teaches a halacha to the other carbonis. What does oil teach? That you need shchita with a keli. Where do you know that? Vayikach HaSamachelas. That's Tosfos. We just learned the whole sugya. You don't have to use a keli to shecht chulin. That's clear you don't need. You can use a reed, you can use a stone. It doesn't necessarily have to be a keli. Clearly, because we don't learn from the pasuk Vayika Chasamacheles that Shchita Schulin has to be done with a keli. How could you learn from Vayika Chasamacheles that it has to be Talush and not learn from Vayika Chasamacheles that it has to be a keli? And Tosfos says a teretz. Tosfos basically says that the Gemara's diuk that Vayikach Samacheles, as it relates to the halacha of Talish, again, Ayin Shom, I'm not going to go through the whole Tosfos, but Tosfos is basic, says that the Gemara's deik was because it says Vayikach Samacheles Lishchot Es Benoi, and it doesn't say Vayikach Samacheles Lishchot Es Ha'oila. It had the halacha of Macheles been, as it relates to the halacha of Talish HaMechobar, that's why it's Ayin Shom, but it had, as it relates to Talish HaMechobar, been specific to the Shechitas Kotshin component of Akedas Yitzchak, so then it should have said, Vayikach HaSamacheles Lishchot Es Ha'Oilo, emphasize the fact that you need it to be Talush, because we're dealing with a carbon oil, because it's Kotshin. Being that it says Lishchot Es Benoi, it sounds like it was the Shechita that fathered the Dover Talush, and not the Shechitas Kotshin, not the oil component that fathered the carbon oil. But just on this note, I thought it's kedai to digress for a moment. This is a real digression. I just mentioned one ha'ara. And that is a classic Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer is by the Parsha of the Akedah. And the Chassam Sofer asks many kashas. One of the kashas, the Chassam Sofer says that everybody knows that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avram Avinu and he tells him, Al tishlach yodcha l'anar, al tas lo'ima umo, ki ati yedati ki yore l'ke mata. So what Avram Avinu do? Avram Avinu wanted, Chazal say, to be matul mo. Rashi brings it. He wanted to make something. He was so oozy, he had so much, he was so ready to do this mitzvah that he felt he couldn't just let it go. There was so much potential energy that he felt that he had to bring it menakoyach el apoyo. So he says, let me just take the knife and let me make a little bit of a hole. Maybe a little bit of dam will come out of Yitzchak. And he was told, no, I don't want that. Not even that. Al tishlach yotcha lanar val tasloy mo'uma. Don't do anything. Zok tichsam soifu, whatever Avinu want to do. What was going on over here? So he says, a davar nifla. He says that we know that Yitzchak Avinu had kedusha soila. And even though that Akedah never played itself out, but he retained his Kedusha Zoyla. Chazal said that Yitzchak Avinu wasn't allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. He couldn't go to Chutz Laaretz. Rashi brings in a Chumash. Why? Because he was an Oyla. He was Kodesh Kedoshim. And Kodesh Kedoshim, the Psal Yotze, the certain Mechitzas where Kodesh Kedoshim can't leave Dazar. He wasn't allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. He was never allowed to leave Chutz Laaretz. He had Kedusha Zoyla. Says the Chassam Sofer, because Yitzchak became an Oyla, Avram Avinu lost the son. He lost his son Yitzchak. He didn't die, but he lost him because he was niskadesh to such a level that he couldn't be miyachas to him anymore. He was kodesh kadashim. He was an oila. He didn't have him. And because he didn't have him, says the Chassam Sofer, Avram Avinu wanted him back. So Avram Avinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, I can't do the Akedah. I hear. What should I do? Fafalin. I'm not going to be able to show you how much I love you and how much I'm willing to do for you by shechting my son. But then I want my son back. So you know what he said I want to do? I want to be matul mum. Matumum bekachim, you can be paid to the kachim. So what he wanted to do was he wanted to make a mum in Yitzchak, so that now he should be able to be paid to the carbonite. He should be able to be paid to Yitzchak, who's his oila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, no, Yitzchak, you can't be paid him. I want him to remain this way. Says the Chassam Sofer, Yitzchak Tak remained this way. And because he remained this way, Avram Avinu on some level lost his connection to his son Yitzchak. He says, that's why the pasuk says, Ki be Yitzchak yikar l'chazer. Right? Because I was very bothered. Be Yitzchak. Was be Yitzchak. For like, call Yitzchak. Right, there's Gemara to talk about this. But says the Chassam Sofer, it was through Yitzchak that Avram Avinu had Zerah. But Yitzchak himself wasn't Zerah. Chassam Sofer says, we all know the pasuk, Vashem Berach, Vavrom Zokim Vaba Yomim, Vashem Berach Es Avram Bakol. Rashi brings the Gemara, but Vabasu, different pshat, what Bakol means. One pshat in Bakol means Bakol is Begematria 52. Bain is Begematria 52. It's a remez that Avraham Avinu had a son. And the Chassam Sofer says, Rabbeinu Shalom, you need a remez that Avraham Avinu had a son? Avraham Avinu had a son Yitzchak. He said, it's on Yishmael. What do you need a remez that Avraham Avinu? Vashem Berech Avraham Bakol Beremizah. So the Chassam Sofer, because after the Akedah, Avraham Avinu lost Yitzchak. He didn't have Yitzchak anymore. He wasn't a son anymore. Beremizah. He had someone that to us looks like it was a son. So Bakol is Begematria 52. Ben is Begematria 52. So through this remez, Ben Benoy Shon remez, pun intended, say he has a son, but really wasn't a son anymore. And that's why it's only Beremizah. Vashem Berech Es Avraham Bakol. It was through that he had a son. Chassam Sofer says that that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu twice in the process of the Akedah. Now I know you're Yor Likim. A few psukim later. Why do you have to say twice? Says the Chassam Sofer, because there were two acts of gevura that Avraham Avinu showed at the Akedah. The first was the fact that he was willing to offer his son as a carbon, and the second was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, don't even make a mum. And even though you're going to lose your oyla, you're going to lose your son, that was another act of gvura. That was the second time that it was v'loi chasachtes binchas yichidcha. I was thinking that, how is Avraham Avinu able to do the Akedah? As soon as Avraham Avinu was going to Shech Yitzchak, he was going to be an oyne. And if he was going to be an oyne, then an oyne is possible to do the Avodah. So we've spoken out from the Zayis Rana. That's the Magen Avram. The Magen Avram says that that's why the Medrash says when Hashem comes to Avram and he tells him, I want you to bring my son as to the Akedah. So what does he tell him? He tells, I want you to take Yitzchak for the Akedah. So Avram says, I'm not a Kohen. He says, don't worry about it. Everybody else, why do you have to be a Kohen Gadol? First of all, this was actually Hukam HaMishkan, where the Avoda was totally in the Bechar. But the point is, why do you have to be a Kohen Gadol? And if he's a Kohen, right? A Kohen's allowed to do the Avoda. Why do you have to be? So the Radal says, based on the Chazals that say that Akedah happened on Yom Kippur, Sabida was Yom Kippur, all the Avoda happens with the Kohen Gadol. That's where. But the Radal brings from the Zayis Ranon and his Pirish and Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Perek Lamed Aleph, Ayin Shom, it's good to see. And he brings that the Mogen Avram said, because Avram Avinu, as soon as he was going to Shech Yitzchak, was going to be an Oine, it's possible to do the Avoda, with the exception of a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol is allowed to be Makriv Oine. He could do the Avoda even if he's an Oine. Amalek Kodesh Baruch Hu, Malani Alecha, Kilo at the Kohen Gadol. If you're a Kohen Gadol, you won't have the Psol Oine. If you don't have the Psol Oine, like this, you'll be able to do the Akeda. Well, if Felix Ham Soif is raid, maybe it's not fair. Because as soon as. What's that? But how's he going to do the Hakrova, though? The second part, you're right. The Shechita is not a Kasha. The Haleo is the problem. The second part, that's true. Right, the Shechita itself, that's Bain Ke'echad. But like the Chassam Sofer is right, it's Gevaldik. Because as soon as Yitzchak was Neskade Shoyla, it's only Vashem Berech HaSavram, Bakoil has the same gematria of Ben. It's only Beremiz of Alma. Maybe he wasn't Nesiachist him anymore. If he wasn't Nesiachist him anymore, so maybe it wouldn't be a Psoloine. It's not Psoloine, it's Gevaldik. The Kash is Miyoshim. Either way, another Gemara. Amar Rav Chizv, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Vami Lobo Masi Satano. Hey, Dvarim, Nemru, Bekrei Mishal Kona. There were five things that were said, five halachos that pertain to the stem of a reed. In shechtem ba, that's why we're talking about this now. You can't shecht with it. The ein molin ba, you're not allowed to do bris mila with a reed, even though it technically has a sharpness to it. So in theory, it should be possible to do bris mila with it, but it's something that's not okay. Ve'in mechatchim ba'basar, you shouldn't even hack flesh with it. Ve'in mechatzin tzim ba'shinayim, shouldn't use it as floss. Ve'in mechanchim ba, nor should you wipe yourself with it. We'll see what that means. It says the Gemara, ain't sheichtim ba. How could you tell me ain't sheichtim ba? V'tanya, we had enough braces. Ba'kol sheichtim, ben betzor, ben beschuches, ben bekrei mishal kano. You see, you could use bekrei mishal kano. Rapapa, as Rapapa said, besimuna da'akma. When we've been discussing doing shechita with a Krei Mishal Kana, we mean a very specific type of reed. These are reeds that grow in marshlands. Those types of reeds are soft. You don't have to worry about those reeds. It's the other types of reeds that you do have to worry about. Why do you have to worry about that? We'll see in a minute. So you shouldn't cut meat with it. Papa says, he used to cut the innards of fish, the zigi. And the reason is because, as we'll see,
that the reason it's not poshut to do these things with reeds is because you're worried about splinters. You're worried that a little bit of it is going to come out and it can cause problems. But Papa felt that the innards of the fish, you were able to see, and as a result, you don't have to worry. If a little bit of the reed goes in, you'll pluck it out. It's not a problem. Rabbi Bar Barchana Mechatech Ba'ufa, the rock, he used to cut oifos with it. And the reason is because the meat, the chicken, is a little softer than meat. And as a result, he felt that it's not going to cause the reed to shed, and as a result, it's not something you have to worry about. You're not allowed to be mekaneach with it. Says the Gemara. So the Gemara is assuming that what means is that if somebody goes to the bathroom, gedolim, so he shouldn't use the kanashal krimis to clean himself. Says the Gemara, you don't have to come on to the fact that the kanashal krimis may splinter as the reason why you can't be mekaneach with it. You can't be mekaneach with it anyways, because Chazal said that anything that's flammable, any dover or shaletes by sheen of noishrois, and sheen of is a euphemism, it means tissue in that area may somehow tear, and as a result, it's something that you anyway is not allowed to do. I'm Rapapa, so Rapapa says no one. It says ve'im kanchen boy, it doesn't mean someone who's going to the bathroom, it means something completely different. Kinuach pinak, it means somebody has an open wound, he shouldn't clean his open wound using this kana shel krimis. Either way, the Gemara said there are five things, hei dvarim nemru b'krimis shel kana, ein sheikhtim ba, ve'ein malim ba, ve'ein mechatchim basar, ve'ein mechatzitzim ba shinayim, ve'ein mekanchim ba. What's the reason? So Rashi over here in the sugya says that the reason for all five of these halachas is the same. Because if you have a kanash al-krimis, even though there's a sharpness to it, but there's a concern that it may splinter. And as a result, the splinter is going to, a little piece of wood or of the kana may go into the behema, it may go into your wound, to the makam hamila of the baby. So there's a concern, pashit mipnei hasakana, and as a result, Chazal said, hey, dvarum nemru, bit kroimishol kana. The Beis Yosef in Yerudea, here in Hilchas Shechita, Simen Vav, brings that the Baal Ha'iter brings from a Yerushalmi, that's a different reason. That the reason in Sheikhtim Ba, ve'im molim ba, ve'im mechatchim basa, ve'im mechatzim ba shinayim, ve'im mechanchim ba. But the one we need most is ein sheikhtim ba, because we're learning Masechta Shulin right now, is not because of a sakana that you worried a little bit if the reed is going to go into the behema, but it's because there was a ruach ra that was shayra, that rested, it hovered on these reeds. And as a result, you don't want to do shechita with it. The reason not to do shechita is because of ruach ra. Beis Yosef brings this from the Balit. Says the Beis Yosef, I think it comes out a very important afkimina l'alacha between Rashi's pshat and why ain't sheikhtim ba, and between the Yerushalmi's pshat and ain't sheikhtim ba. According to Rashi, you're worried about a splinter. And Rashi says the concern is that maybe the splinter or the reed will cause a pgam in the simana before you shecht it, and it's going to render the behema a treifa. Meaning there's a real concern in the kashrus of the shechita. Being that there's a concern in the kashrus of the shechita, b'dievet, if you would do it, the shechita would be pasal. However, according to the Tam of the Balo Iter, who brings from the Yerushalmi, that is because of a ruach ra is an issue, but that's something that you only worry about on a lekatchila level. B'dievet, you don't worry about a ruach ra. So again, says the Beis Yosef, Rashi said that the reason in sheichtim ba is because you're worried that there's maybe something wrong with the shechita, that the kana may cause a pagam in the shechita, thus you may have a problem of a treifa. There may be a real issue here with this animal. Being that there may be an issue with the animal, it's not just something you have to be concerned about the katchila, it's something that's an issue with the yevet as well. According to the Yerushalmi, that says it's because ruach ra is a problem on the katchila level, ruach ra is not going to be a problem on the b'dias. It says the Beis Yosef, a very important afkimina la'alocha between the two pshatim. There's a tshuva from the Shfus Yaakov. It's in Chelik Beis, Simen Kofhe. Shfus Yaakov was asked that it's Yodua, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that a person is not supposed to put food underneath his bed. So you're not supposed to sleep with food underneath your bed. And Pashim Shat, the reason is because of a Ruach Ra. So the Shaila was asked to the Shfus Yaakov, what about Bidiyevet? Let's say somebody went to sleep and he had food underneath his bed. So do you have to throw out your food? Do you have to get rid of everything? Or Bidiyevet, is it going to be okay? So it says the Shvus Yaakov, that at first glance, I have a very obvious sushtel. I have a Befurish Beis Yosef and Hilchas Shechita Siman Vav. The Beis Yosef was discussing this halacha of Ein Sheikhtim B'Krei Mishal Kana. And this two pshatim that I brought down. Rashi, who says it may be a concern with the Shechita. And the Yerushalmi that the Bala Itu quotes that says that there's an issue of Ruach Ra. And the Beis Yosef said this very obvious nafkimino. What happens B'Dievet? If there's a Chashash Shechita, then B'Dievet it's also going to be possible. If the Chashash is Ruach Ra, then B'Dievet it's going to be okay. So what do you see? That Ruach Ra is something we worry
worry about on the lekatchila level. It's not something that we worry about on the bidyavid level. So says the Shvus Yaakov, what's the difference between the ruach ra of the kanashal kroimis that the Yerushalmi was talking about, chulin daf tezayin amabez, or the ruach ra that the Shulchan Aruch talks about in Yerideh, as in kuf tezayin, where he discusses the ruach ra, that shayra on food, if somebody sleeps on top of food. So at the end of the day, it's a problem. The katchila is not a problem with you. But says the Shvus Yaakov that I believe that being that we're dealing with sakana and chamira sakante meisura chul and dafyod, so I think we have to do a little better. I'm not comfortable issuing a kula for a davish al sakana without finding a more tangible source. So do we have a source anywhere? Bavli, Yerushalmi, can we find a source somewhere that if somebody sleeps with food underneath his bed, b'diyevet, it's okay to eat the food? So says the Shvus Yaakov have a Gemara. A Mefurish Gemara. It's a Talmud Bavli. It's a Mesechtes Bava Basra. It's a Perik Cheskes Habatim from all places. The very end of Cheskes Habatim. Nobody gets that far. Unless you learn Daf Yomi. So the Gemara of Bava Basra, Daf Mechesem and Aleph, says as follows. The Gemara says that one of the ways to know the difference between a Talmud Chacham and an Amma Aretz is by looking at his bed. Mita She Talmidei Chacham Ketzat. Kol She Ein Tachteh. If you look at the bed of a Talmud Chacham, all you're going to find is a pair of shoes. Underneath his bed, he's going to have shoes. He has his regular shoes during the winter, and he has his sneakers during the summer. But that's it. That's what you're going to find. You're going to find a pair of shoes. Right? Sandalin b'maisach chama, u'minala b'maisach sham. Loosely translated. V'shalama aretz. If you go to the mitzvah of an amma aretz, you know what you're going to find? Doimba la'itza balas. It's yontif in the vachin. Rashi says, itza balas is miloshin isa mi'ureves miminim harbe. It's like you have a dough, this pepper, this salt. Setitzach lebedig. What do you mean? Says Rashi. I quote. V'chemitas ha-ma'aretz. Kol dover manichin tachas mitasam. They put everything under their bed. Oichlin, they put their food there. V'kelem, it's the pantry, it's the refrigerator, it's the store, it's the shed, it's the sook. Everything is there. It's all underneath the bed. It's mamish, it's an oitzer bolo, says the Gemara. Sok the Shvus Yaakov comes out of Meir de Gezach. And our ma'aret is becheskas that he keeps his food underneath the bed. It's a mefurishu gemara. It's a gemara by the master daf lechesam enough. Now we know if you buy peiris from an ma'aret, what do you have to do? You have to be mafreshum as a ma'aseris. It's called demai. Midrabanan, you have to be concerned that maybe he wasn't mafreshum as a ma'aseris. But once you're mafreshum as a ma'aseris, no worries. Now you can eat it. Now everything is fine. Frank, the Shvus Yaakov, why are you ever allowed to eat food from an ma'aret? Why are you worried about what the gemara says above a master lechesam and aleph that his mita is an oitzer bolus? He keeps food under his bed. If he keeps food under his bed, he's violating the halacha shulchan aruch yerideh asim and kuf tezayin. There's a ruach ra now that's shayra on this food. And chamira sakante meisura. So you're worried about the iser, which is a shayla of ma'is roi v'amiyar, it's ma'asrin heim. So you're worried about the chayshina lemiyuta that maybe the amaretz didn't give chumas of ma'is. Freit the heiligus fus yakiv. What about the sakana? That's even more chomer. What happened to the ruach ra? It's like the vaisleis, like the Beis Yosef said. Because ruach ra is only an issue when you're dealing on the lekatchila level. But b'diavad, you never have to worry about a ruach ra. Being that b'diavad, you never have to worry about a ruach ra. It's for that reason it's not going to be an issue. Another place where this plays itself out in the halacha is that when a person wakes up in the morning, so he has a ruach ra that shayra on him. Incidentally, the Velt says that after the Ger Tzedek, Avram ben Avram, the famous Ger Tzedek from Vilna. So he was executed. It was the second day Shavuos in the year 1749. So after Avram ben Avram was killed, so the Vilna Gaon said Grace Hazachin about the neshama of Avram ben Avram. And he said that when he was killed, the spiritual universe changed. Something changed. And the Gaon said that where it played itself out, l'maisa, is that the ruach ra, that shayra on a person when he wakes up in the morning before he washes netilas yadayim, is not the same ruach ra that it once was. And I don't quote me on this, but I believe that Talmidei Hagra don't keep negel vasa next to their bed because this mesora from the Vilna Gaon that the ruach ra is not shayra anymore because of something that happened when the famous Ger Tzedek was killed. But the point is that there's no question, Medina de Shulchan Aruch, for sure, that when a person wakes up in the morning, before he washes negel vasa, there's a ruach ra that's shayra on him. Stating that, the Mishnah Berurah says that what happens if a person, so it's for that reason Mishnah Berurah says that a person shouldn't touch food before you wash negel vasa because you have the ruach ra. What happens if you touch food? Let's say you touch food. Wake up in the morning, you touch food. So you have to throw it out. V'naga b'maychel koydem shenot al yadav ein lesser ha-maychel al yadeza. No. Aval lekatchiva ma'oid yesh li zoher shloi liga oz b'shom maychel v'naga b'oichel. And if you touch food, yadichenu, you should wash the food Gimel Pala. As I state the Mishnah Berurah, it's in Hilchas Netilas Yadayim, it's Simen Dalet. But the bottom line is, again, it's the same thing. Because even though there's an issue of Ruach Ra, but Ruach Ra is only on the Lekatchila level. What's the Makar? The Makar is the Beis Yosef and a beautiful Shfus Yaakov who brings a Raya from the Gemara in the Sechtis, Bava Basra, Daf Nun Ches Amar Aleph. But just to digress from our digression, and we'll end with this, and that is that there's a very interesting Rambam. The Rambam from Hilchas Reitzeach Veshmiras HaNefesh, it's Perik Yud Beis, it's Sif Katan He. The Rambam brings this halacha. V'lo yitein hatav shol pachas hamita. You shouldn't keep food underneath your bed. Afal pishu oisik besuda, even if you're in the middle of eating, never put food underneath your bed. Why? What's the reason? So, what would you say? The Ruach Ra, right? Says the Rambam, Shema Yipo by Dover Hamazik, because you're afraid that underneath your bed you don't really know what's Tutzach Dartin. So how do you know that a Dover Hamazik is not going to go into the food? The Hu Ein Ereyeo, and you may not be paying attention. So it may be a Dover Shal Sakana. You know what the Sakana is? A Dover Hamazik may fall into the food. Says the Ravid, Gamzer Bi Yerushalmi, the Makar to this is a Yerushalmi, Umefarshim, not like the Rambam. Mishum Ruach Ra. The Rambam made up a new reason. It's Mishum Sakana, you do it Sakana. You're worried about a Mazik? It's not a Mazik. The Rambam's making this a practical, a real-life concern. Says the Rav, it's not a real-life concern. The issue is it's Ruach Ra. This is more in the realm of the metaphysical. There's some Ruach that the Goyen said that after the Avram and Avram, right, these Ruchais, these are things we don't fully understand. Right, Zugais. The Gemara talks a lot about Zugais, but Taisa says in the end of Masechtas Yuma, there's no Zugais anymore today. Right, because some of these things can change. Real sakonas don't change. These things change. But says the Ravid, the Rambam says, that you worried, Shema yipo by dover amazik v'hu enoi royeyu. That's not the point. The point is, it's mishum ruach ra. So what's pshat in the Rambam? What's pshat in the Rambam? So it tastes very interesting. Last week, on Friday, we spoke at a beautiful tshuva from the Milchas Elazar. We were discussing the Gemara in Daf Yud, Chamira Sakante Meisura, and the Milchas Elazar had a real life story where a woman came to him. She was married, Loyalenu, three times, and all three of her marriages ended unsuccessfully. Her first husband died. Her second husband, Atzach Geshmat, he went to America and ended up giving her a get. And then the third husband died again. She wanted to get married. The problem is, we paskin like Rebbe, that once a woman is married twice, and both her husbands die, she has a din of a katlanis, and she came in vain to the Heilige Minchas Aluza. Could you be matter? Is there any way? She was young, she wasn't even 50 years old. The Minchas Aluza says she was an Ashes Chayil and gives her, right? Is there any way in the world she could get married? The Minchas Aluza ended up writing this brilliant tshuva where the Minchas Aluza had two svaras, maybe why there shouldn't be an issue of katlanis. Number one, the Ber Hetiv says in Siman Tes and Ebenezer that if it's Beseirugin, if there was a successful marriage in between the two marriages where the husbands die, it could be that doesn't render a person a katlanis, which is what happened over here. The other thing was, if Chassidim says that if a man dies but he left over children, it could be that's a. So he wanted to say maybe it's a Sveksveka. He said, but the problem is Sveksveka works in this of a heter. But when you're dealing with Chamiris Akantim Yisru, this Sveksveka doesn't work. So what was the punchline of Minchas Elazar when we ended our tshuva, when we went through this together on Friday? The end of the Minchas Elazar's tshuva was he wanted to invoke the Rambam. The Rambam says a Chiddush that the Issa Katlanis is only on the Lekachila level. But if somebody says he doesn't care, he wants to get married, we allow him to get married. The Rosh says, no, just the opposite. If somebody would marry a Chayvei Lavin, we'd force them to get divorced. Chamira Sakante Meisura, certainly we're going to force them to get divorced. But the Rambam says, no, I'm not worried. And they asked the Rambam what's pshat, and the Rambam responded in a tshuva, and the Chassam Sofer wrote a tshuva to explain the Rambam's tshuva, where basically the Rambam said that even though the Gemara says that the reason a katana shouldn't get married is because we're worried about her mazel, the Rambam held that this mazel garam is really all in the person's head. And it's man de kapit kaptina bahade, Lashon Chassam Sofer, uman de loy kapit, loy kaptina bahade. So to the extent the Rambam held that she's worried, worry can attract scary things. And as a result, says Rambam, oh, you're worried that this is not going to work out. I don't. Lo yisa. We tell them not to get married. But if this person's okay, the person's not worried, they're happy staying married, then adarabba, let them remain married. So said the Minchas Elazar, he said a dava nifla. He said, even though we don't paskin like this Rambam, but at the same time, I think we can be mitstarif this Rambam with the Sfek Sfeika and make the following cheshbon. Go over to the woman and say, I want you to know, mi'ikra din, you have nothing to worry about. You know why? Because it's Sveksveika, and Sveksveika works, mi'ikra din. Narvas, chamira sakante meisura. But to the extent that she buys the Sveksveika, and she's not worried, so then there will be no sakana. Because it's only a sakana if she's worried. But if she's not worried, there's no sakana. The Sveksveika should alleviate the worry. Thus, we can rely on the Rambam, and we can allow her to get married. That's where we got up to. And he says, I don't think we can rely on this Rambam. He says, you know why? Because if you think about it, this Rambam who said that Mazla Garam is not real, it's all in a person's head. It's man de kapit kaptina bahadi, man de loy kapit loy kaptina bahadi. To me, this is the Rambam Mushitasai. This is the Rambam who throughout his Yad Chazaka, he was always mefarish things in the most scientific, for lack of a better word, but in the most practical terms. And the Rambam shied away from anything metaphysical. And he brings the Rambam. You know which Raya he brings? The Rambam we just learned. He says, the Rambam, when it came to this halacha of putting food underneath your bed, says the Minchas Alusa, the Rambam says in Perek Yud Beis, Hilchos Reit Seach, that it's not you do it a ruach ra. What is it related to? It's related to, because it's on your table, you see. But if it's going to be underneath your bed, you're not going to see what falls in it. And as a result, it's something that you have to worry about. The Raya was massing on it. What do you mean? It's related to ruach ra. Why didn't the Rambam say Ruach Ra? Says Minchas Lazer, because if you look, the Rambam doesn't bring one halacha in his entire Yad Chazak, in his entire, as they state the Minchas Lazer, that he doesn't bring one halacha related to Ruach Ra. There's many Gemaras that talk about Ruach Ra, but he says he doesn't bring one. If I can't, he brings this halacha, he doesn't explain it out to Ruach Ra. He explains it based on something else. And this is the Rambam, this is something that is one of the themes in the Rambam Sfarim, in the Yad Chazaka, in his Pirush HaMishnayis, in the Mayur Nevoichim. He says, the problem is, do we paskin like that Rambam? See, now that we turned the Rambam of Katlanis into a much bigger Rambam, we made it l'shitasa with all the other Rambams. Do we paskin like that Rambam? So Al Zeh Nema Devon the Goyen, and the Mechlazer quotes the Goyen, and this is the Goyen in Yerideya. It's in Hilchas Ma'oneinu Mechashes. It's Simin Kuf Ayin Tes, and the Vilna Goyen over there brings the Rambam who says that Kishuf Shemois Lechoshem incantations Shedem and Kameyos Hakol Hu Sheker. That's what the Rambam said. The Rambam held that it wasn't true, right? The Rambam, whenever he talks about the Oyvdei Avodah Zarah, he calls them shaitim and people that are oisik in havlei Avodah Zarah. Kishuf, the Rambam referred to as being hevel. The Ramban throughout his Pirush Al Torah explained scientifically exactly how kishuf worked and how Avodah Zarah worked. In the Ramban's world, it wasn't shtosim. It was very, very real. These are real kaychas. But the Rambam always spoke that way. He said that people that are Avodah Zarah, they're fools. That's where the Rambam understood it. Regardless, what did the Goyin say about the Rambam? He said that the reason the Rambam wrote this is because he was nimshach after the philosophy of Aristotle, and it influenced him on some level. Again, we can never say this, but the Vilna Goyen said this. And he said that's where this came from. But he says, Kfar hiku oisei al katkadoi, and chalila abadad aloch is not like the Rambam. So it says, Minchas Alusa, if that's the case, how can I rely on this Rambam? To me, the Rambam of Katlanis is the same Rambam as the Rambam who doesn't want to learn that the food underneath your bed is the Ruach Ra. It's the same Rambam who thinks that Avodah Zarah and Kishuv and all these things are just, they're ridiculous. It's people that lived in the dark ages, it's what they believe, but really it's not true. L'chaira, if that's the case, we don't pass like the Rambam, because we know the Vilna Goyen spoke so sharply against that Shitas HaRambam. And if they're all the same, that the Rambam didn't believe in the metaphysical, if you can't touch it, then the Rambam was always trying to make sense of it in a more practical way. The L'chaira, how could I be mad to this Eishas, or this Katlonis? How could I allow this woman to get married based on that Rambam Shita? But then the Michas Loza says that I believe that the Tzakon of Katlonis is different, because he brings that Trum Sadeshin says that there were many Katlonises throughout the ages that got married, and they were Mayrich Yom HaVashanim. They were Mayrich Yom HaVashanim. So he said, what's the pshat? He says, Namanim Divrei Chazal. If Chazal said Mazla Gar when it comes to a Katlonis, then how is it possible that the Trum Sadeshin could say Eidos that technically is being Makhish Divrei Chazal? It's not possible. He says, because you have to say that the Rambam was right as it relates to Katlonis. As it relates to everything else, I hear it. That's the Vilna Goyen's Kasha. That's way above our pay grade. But the bottom line is, right, in Kiyudua, I found once Rebbe Yashiv, one of his Sfarim, brings this Lashon that the Vilna Goyen says, and then he writes there, he says that when you understand and appreciate the covet that the Vilna Goyen had for the Rambam, it's so out of character. What the Vilna Goyen said over there in his Bir Agron Simen Kufay and Tess. I mean, we're talking about the Vilna Goyen and the Rambam, and we don't understand these things. But the point is, it says the Minchas Alasa that even though we don't paskin like that Rambam, based on what the Vilna Goyen said, but as it relates to Katlanis, the only way to reconcile the Eidus of the Trumas Hadesha and what Chazal said is by accepting what the Rambam said. That Katlanis is a Dovah Shal Sakana, but only if a person views it as a davar shel sakana. If he doesn't view it as a davar shel sakana, it's like Chazal say, man de kapit kaptina bade. Right? Lubavitcher Rebbe used to say, trach gut vet zayn gut. There's a Makar. The Makar is the Rambam. The Rambam says that what the Gemara says in Psachim and the Kapi, Kaptina Bahadi regarding Zugais, the Chassam Sofer said it to explain this Rambam regarding Katlanis. It's true about a lot of things. Ayin Sham, the Minchas Laz is a beautiful truva. It's, again, Chelik Bey, Simen, Ayin Vav. Regardless, we'll stop here.